Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Members, don't be a jerk. Cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around. Make a sound, hunker down, East Dumb People Town.
Hey, townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town. Population you.
Population Glebe.
Ben Glebe, welcome to the show, brother.
What's up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm really good. It's great to be with you. I wish it was in person. I long for your touch.
Oh, man. I long for it, too. And I want people to know, we'll talk more about what you have ventured to do. I mean, you're an amazing person. You ran for frickin' president of the United States of America.
You did.
It's how much you felt the things that we all feel. And you actually this is a common theme with you. You put your foot forward and you actually do something about it. So comedians are off the road and they're not doing stuff. You're like, I'm gonna do something about it. We'll talk about that at the break. But I love that you're here because you've always been one of our favorite comics. And you always don't suffer. You do not suffer fools lightly. And this show is all about the fools in this world.
It is. And I can't thank you for the kind words. I'm very emotional now, but I will choke back my tears.
Please.
I cannot wait to suffer them very publicly and make them pay for their mistakes.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the world's getting dumber? Are we getting dumber as a people?
Or is dumb just have a larger channel to get out to people now?
Yeah, dumb is just, I think we've always been pretty dumb. Dumb is just being empowered. Mm. Dumb feels like it's time right now.
Yeah, no,
right.
we can't allow
dumb's
that.
Having a moment.
Dumb's having
saying.
A moment.
Right. Yes, it is.
We can't allow that to happen. We get great stories, Ben, sent to us from our awesome fans, and then Dan goes through them. We've never heard them. You've never heard it.
Dan's barely heard it.
We're going to get through this one together. So, Dan, take it away.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Here's the headline.
Who was it sent to us by?
It was sent to us by Kate Peckham at _PeckHamburger.
Thank Hey-o. You, Kate.
Peck right. Hamburger. If your name's Peckham and you go by Peck Hamburger, I feel like that is a nickname you got in high school sports.
And I also feel like she has to be a vegan at this point. Right?
Why not?
I mean, okay, it'd be impossible if she wasn't.
Stop it.
Okay, there
Stop
we go.
It. Jesus.
Right. Garden Burger is less strong of a name.
Garden right. Burger is way less strong of a name.
That joke you made seemed like a real joke, but it felt like one.
It tasted like one.
No, right. You bit into it and you're like, this isn't quite a real joke.
Okay, ready?
It's not filling me up the same way.
Guilt-free comedy, you guys.
There you go. That's our show. Drunk man rescued after passing out with rum bottle in lap. First of all, that's hack drinking.
Well, how many rum bottles is this number one? Because if it's number one, you aren't drinking enough.
I guarantee you, if he was holding a child, he would not have cared if the child rolled off and fell wherever it needed to fall. But that
he held on to that rum bottle.
He held on to that rum bottle.
And it might have. That child might have rolled over. My big question initially is, did they find this man passed out with rum bottle as one of the guys in the Pirates of the Caribbean?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, so let me ask you this.
Parlay.
Has that...
Well, it's definitely not on Splash Mountain, which we're all protesting.
Yes. Had it... Do you feel like Pirates of the Caribbean has romanticized falling asleep with a rum bottle?
Yeah, that's where I got the dream.
Yeah, okay, good.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah, I would concur with that
okay,
feeling.
Good, good.
Okay, so, sent it by Kate. You shouldn't drink and raft, especially down a flooded river heading over a dam.
I'm going to disagree with that. I think the best times, and I don't know if you've done this, Dan, haven't you inner tubed? You've inner tubed, right?
Yeah, float the river.
You float the river. That's the time to drink.
Oh, yeah. And I've done it in Texas and Wisconsin and Northern California.
It's fun to drink and sit in an inner tube and not do anything and let the river take you.
Yes, that's basic water safety, really, is you want to be drinking heavy amounts that impair your judgment and your motor function while in a transport vehicle that has no bottom.
Right, no bottom, but is somehow trapping you.
And a cup that doesn't have exactly a bottom right. either, my friend.
Yeah, that's right.
Bottomless beers.
Bottomless bottle of rum.
So this guy's in an over, he's in an overflowing river heading mm-hmm. towards a dam mm-hmm. and he's got a bottle of rum on his pocket, on his on
So
his
let
lap.
Me ask you this, Dan.
Right.
Do you think he started drinking before he got on the raft or?
Oh, that's the thing. I don't think a raft is involved at all. Oh, no, there is.
He's rafting.
He's rafting.
Yes. Yes, but he's also rafting a flooded river.
Yeah.
So he was like, this is a drunken opportunity.
I can go right out my door.
What if he passed out on the raft, right? And the river was not flooded.
Right.
And then the river just flooded up and he just started.
He's the Noah's Ark of drinking.
Yes. He's wishing he had a twin brother at that point to go with him.
That's right. Two of everything. So he could procreate.
So it says you shouldn't drink and raft, especially down a flooded river heading over a dam.
I got two of everything. I got two gallstones, two custody battles.
Indiana conservation officers, which I imagine is the most fullest of time jobs, where you're just trying to conserve anything you can in Indiana.
Oh, man.
Along with the Crawford County Sheriff's Department, rescued an intoxicated man who had passed out and floated more than... how many miles down the flooded Blue River Sunday? Now, I'm going to tell you, I have a photo of him. I don't think it looks to me like he's just belly up floating down this river. It doesn't look like he's on a raft at all.
Here, Rand, take that to him.
How many miles do you guys think he passed out, floated down river with a bottle on his lap? How many do you think it was?
I'm seeing a lot of leaves. What am I looking at? They're leaves?
He's in the background.
Yeah, he's way back there.
He's deep.
It's our own Zapruder film.
Yeah.
I think, yes, it is. I don't know. I think it probably came from the book suppository.
Yeah.
I think
suppository.
He floated down. My guess is he's floated a solid four and a half miles.
4.5 miles. All right, Jason Sklar.
8 miles.
8 miles.
So I... when I went
an M&M, if you will.
Yes. When I went camping with
my... He didn't float in Detroit, my God.
Yeah, I know. Well, here. So when I went camping with my family, there was a very... it was like a mile and a half float that did not take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you're on an overflowing river that's heading towards a dam, it's moving pretty fast.
That would be, yes.
I think he went 17 miles.
17 miles.
Yes. Whoa.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Traveled a long way.
One of you... is only 1 mile off.
All right, Ben.
Does anybody want to change their guess?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm tempted to go 17 miles now, but I'm sticking by 4.5.
Okay. You get 4.5. I'll say.
But you can change yours one up or one down. He said one up or one down, 1 mile up.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going 5.5.
Five and a half. Jay, what do you think?
9.
Okay.
I think I'll go down 16 because I know I was up there a little ways.
He floated 7 miles down the flooded Blue River.
So how fast was it going?
It had to go very fast.
Right, and how long was he drunk for?
Not long enough.
All right.
Officers received...
do you think he thought he was on his couch the whole time?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
This movie's amazing.
A river definitely does run through it.
Yep. There it is. Meryl, where are you, Meryl? Your kid
like,
needs
Meryl
you.
Meryl's a good actress. I don't even recognize her.
Yeah, it's his own deliverance. I'm glad we went with A River Runs Through.
There you go.
Officers received multiple calls about the man who was floating down the river on a raft with a bottle of rum in his lap. Imagine those calls. 911, what's your emergency? Well, there's I don't know if it's an emergency.
There's a man floating down the river.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
He got a bottle of rum on his lap. All right.
Does he seem awake?
No.
How long has he been going for? I've been watching him about 2 miles.
And I love that he's not actively drinking it. It's just in his lap, like he's
like a baby
it with his life.
Yeah. Yes, yes. You look, you.
Yeah, I'm sure he was talking to it. Yeah. You're my best friend, bottle.
We're gonna make it. We're gonna make it through this. We're gonna be.
I
all
wonder
right.
if he also started pounding it just to try to reduce the weight of right. it, not realizing it was the same amount of weight still.
How many times during his trip down the river did he say to the bottle, "If you don't shut up, I'm gonna jettison you"?
I mean, I thought you were gonna say, "How many times did he call it Huck Finn?" It's just me and you now, Huck. When they reported to the scene, two officers were unable to awaken the man. Despite throwing bags and shouting a whistle from the bank. Bags of what? Like cornhole?
Yeah.
cornhole.
They made the cops made a game out of it.
You try and get it
into his belly button
while he's.
Yeah, the cops were like, okay, whose turn is it?
Knock over the rum bottle and you win a prize.
That's no, I was hoping that the cops turned into kids when kids create a game. They're like, okay, no, hold on,
Wait.
If you throw it, okay, if you throw it first.
What if I skip it off the water?
Right. Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. What if he wakes
the game
up
I
before?
What's the game you would have played?
The game I would have played would have been just being on the riverbank with a very long straw and see who could get it in there.
Into the rum bottle. Into the rum bottle.
Daniel Plainview style. That's the Daniel Plainview game.
Yeah. I drink your rum.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about what the cops did other than throwing bags to try and save this man. Remember, the whole time, he's heading towards a dam.
And he's not waking up.
No,
not at all.
By the way,
that's sleeping better than... We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. All right, it's Dumb People Town.
Classic cliffhanger.
Ben Gleave is with us.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We got Ben Gleave with us. I want people on this who are listening to this podcast to know a little bit about the Nowhere Comedy Club. It's where Randy and I did a headlining set and Dan featured. It's where Dan will in the near future do his
own. Yeah, Ben and I have already talked about it. I'll be doing one this summer.
Great. Awesome. It's a really fantastic. Maybe we'll find a way to do a live Dumb People Town on one of these, which would be also fantastic. Tell them about Nowhere Comedy Club, and I think it's one of the most brilliant things to come out of this virus pandemic.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're trying to find a date for Dan to do it in July, and we'd love to have Dumb People Town. We already have some podcasts. Basically, when quarantine hit, you know, like you said, I had run for office for a year and had to kind of step out of a lot of my comedy life, didn't have a lot of income for a while. And then I thought, okay, that failed. I didn't become president. Shocker to me and everybody that I knew.
Agreed.
But I was ready to go back into comedy, and then the world shut down. And comedy clubs closed, TV production shut down, all of our potential income disappeared, and live entertainment for people disappeared at a time when we needed it more than ever.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so my first thought was, I wonder if I could create a comedy club online. And my first question I had to solve was, obviously, for comedy to work, for an audience, stand-up to work, you need live laughter.
Yes.
And so I just thought, what if I invited the audience in on a video conferencing software platform to laugh with us, to hear them live as though you're in a club? And so I called Steve Hofstetter. He'd been thinking along similar lines, and he and I just combined forces and created the Nowhere Comedy Club. And basically, we now have a comedy club in your living room, in anybody's living room. We have locations around the globe.
So what it's amazing. What I love about it is that for comics, we are dying to do our material. We miss doing the road.
We've written so much material.
We've written so much material about the first 30 minutes of the set we did last week for you guys was all brand new. And we've wanted to do it out in the world, and then to do it in front of, and you know, you guys cap it around 390, and we were pretty damn close to it. To do it in front of 350 to 400 people and hear their laughter.
And then hear from people like, hey, I live in upstate New York and you guys haven't come here. Or I live in a part of Florida that I don't think you guys are coming to, but this was my way to see you guys live.
Or I'm unable to leave my home in a normal time. Like, it's hard for me to get out anyway.
Absolutely. And this was my chance to see you guys. What was so nice, and again, you buy one ticket, even if you're a couple, they're watching it together. So I say there were 400, you know, 375 tickets bought. There could have been 500 people there because a lot of people,
600.
Yeah, a lot of people watch it together. So it just was beautiful. It felt like an event. You guys really did a great job. So,
and we're walking around watching your set, which you were hilarious, watching Dan's set. Randy and I are pacing around Randy's wife's office the same way we walk around the green room before we do our set. It felt like getting ready to get on stage.
And then you get on. I love that. It just was really, really, you guys have made something special that I think, you do such a good job for all of our fans out there. And we have a lot of fans who love stand-up who are sad that they cannot go to their even local club and see their favorite people come through. nowherecomedyclub.com.
Go to their site. Check it out. Coming up. There's great comics all the time. All people we watch, we love. And if you want to see them do...
Instead of watching the news for the 20th time in a row, it'll be there for you. It'll be there for you when it gets out.
Yeah, all the news and all the things you worry about will be there an hour and 30 minutes after you start the show.
This was the note that we got from people. I'm sure you guys hear this all the time. They felt like they could recharge after watching that.
And I know we owe you this in written form for your website. We owe you this, and we're going to give it to you because we believe this wholeheartedly.
That it just, people recharged and saw the show felt great. So just a great job with that.
Thank you so much for the kind words. I mean, that's what we try to do is, you know, Zoom shows can suck and we just really figured it out. We have an amazing staff and showroom managers and bouncers, and we just make sure that the experience is fun and you feel like you're having a night out while you're in. People are having date nights at the shows.
Yeah.
And it's just been incredible. I'm doing my own show on July 2nd at Nowhere Comedy Club.
Nice.
I improvised the entire hour and it's called Glebe Off the Top, and you can see that. And crowd work works even better than at a club because we have our people cut the camera to who I'm talking to. So you see in their living room, you see vulnerably their life instead of the back of their head. From far away. Todd Barry just did a sold out crowd work show at our club too. And I do a monthly one with Greg Proops. He and I do Whose Line Is It Anyway style improv games together.
It's great.
For 90 minutes. So it's a real great venue. And I really hope everybody checks it out. Thank you guys so much for the kind words.
Oh, of course.
Can't wait to have you back.
July 2nd, for sure. Check out Ben Glebe because you were awesome on the both shows that when you
check him out, and then we'll be pimping real hard when Dan gets his date in July on this show. You guys know about that.
Ben, I wanted to ask you, have you had any, you know, we keep seeing these stories of like people on a work Zoom where somebody goes to the bathroom or somebody like changes their shirt. Have you had any like just, oh, this could only happen here? Like somebody had a fire break out in their home while they were like watching the Zoom or anything?
During one of our early shows, what we had, Steve Hofstetter was doing a show and somebody, and literally we have all these, you know, warnings and messages for it to be a good experience. You want to wear headphones and you want to do this and keep yourself muted if you're in a loud environment. Somebody thought their angry parrot wouldn't be a problem.
Jesus.
So
it's not me. It's not me. This is the issue about fucking accountability. Don't bring your parrot.
That's so funny. Guys, I tried to tell him.
Would you bring your parrot to a comedy? If you brought your parrot to a comedy club, they would be like, you can't bring that in.
And they start talking back.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know what I would do as a comic.
Unless you're Jeff Dunham.
Repeating everything you said on stage, it's really rude.
I would say, does Polly want a cracker? And then I would turn to the white guy whose shoulder it was on and be like, does the cracker want a cracker? Get him out of here.
All right, happened. And so now we literally tell people, if you have an angry parrot, please shut him up.
Keep it to yourself.
Then one amazing moment happened was I was doing my show with Greg Proops and we were improvising a scene in like a fake medical drama, an over the top medical drama.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that one of the people in the audience is an ER nurse on her shift in the ER treating people with COVID. And I cut the camera to her in the moment, and suddenly she's in a scene with us as a nurse.
Brilliant.
Oh, that's so great.
That is something you cannot do
in a comedy club.
Yeah, you're going to find these things as you continue down this road.
It's beautiful, and I love it because it isn't just like, hey, here's the thing you had before in the time when you didn't think you could have it. It's like, here's something new and different and adaptive and creative.
And we're going to build on it. We're going to build on your experience. So just great. We got great feedback from our fans. Can't wait to see yours on July 2nd.
And
then Dan's later in July. And then we'll do a Dumb People Town on there. We'll figure that out.
All right, let's get back to this crazy story.
Okay, so where we left off, when the officers reported to the scene,
throwing bags at him.
They were unable to wake him despite throwing bags, shouting and blowing a whistle, which I hope is the order. Like, first they just tried to throw shit. Then they were like, well, shout at him, holler at him. And then a whistle.
Is it a slide whistle?
Officers, yes. Officers, they're like, I have her by kid's recorder in the trunk. Officers then launched a boat and set up a tagline across the river and sent a rescue swimmer to try and catch the man before he was swept over the Milltown Dam. Milltown Dam sounds like it closed and everybody's been out of work ever since.
The poor Milltown Dam. I mean, Milltown used to be a great place.
Right.
Well, we're living here in Milltown.
Fortunately, a Crawford County. So when he gets to the tag, to the line where they're supposed to grab him at the dam, he never shows up. Which also kind of feels like that
better
probably
things to do.
Is he a ghost?
That also probably is a perfect summary of his life. He's just never gonna show.
Hey, remember your son's graduation?
I remember it. I just had a thing. I
couldn't be there.
Right. I love when they're like, I know I didn't make it. Yeah, no shit. You think you're telling me that? Fortunately, Crawford County Sheriff's deputy spotted the man who washed ashore a couple miles above the dam and was able to reach him.
They're talking about him like he's a dead whale.
Yeah,
he 100%. Washed up onto shore like a log.
But imagine these cops were like, is he coming? Where the hell did he go? And he's just sleeping in a bank like 3 miles up the river.
He's very lucky they didn't think he was a live whale and push him right back in.
I know. Exactly. I know. We got to get this thing back in water. Just roll it, roll it, roll it. Well, the idea now, I now believe more than ever that this was just God having a little bit of fun, because I feel like he definitely sat down in a raft in his front yard, started drinking, passed out. Then the river rose and carried him. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now he's going down and people are like, oh God, this is going to be bad. He's sitting there with a thing.
Seven miles from his house.
He's going to go over the dam. And then God was like, nope,
we'll veer you back.
We'll just put you
over. We had our fun.
Because the Lord works in mysterious ways, and I think you've just proven it.
Right.
100%.
And probably, I don't know for a fact, I don't know the man personally, but I imagine it would especially be a difficult circumstance for him if, as he's being drifted into this angry, raging river, his first thought is, damn it, and I don't usually drink rum. I'm a whiskey man.
This is how I'm going to go?
That's his biggest point of contention.
Yeah, guys. He wishes he had his fave.
And this
don't judge me for the rum.
It's this is how he is now going to tell everyone, this is what's going to happen to you when you drink rum.
Oh, for sure.
You're going to drink that bottle of rum. You're going to fall asleep on a raft. You're going to go 7 miles away from your home. You're going to wash up on the bed.
But let's talk about holding a whole bottle, like drinking from the bottle is a certain kind of sad drinking that
you're either you're celebrating or mourning,
trying to forget. Right.
Yeah. There's no in between.
Yeah. You're
And I feel like often both, I mean, the best celebrations end up with a great cry.
Yes.
I just wonder if you think it would be at all effective, this scared straight motivational speech in high school auditoriums. He tells the story. You're going to be washed down river. And the kids firstly either think this is the most made up bullshit story in the world, or they're like, this sounds like a dream. They wish they could go to water parks.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, I've done this. It is a great afternoon.
That's the best ride at Hurricane Harbor. It's the one that goes through the little bar and then you're on the lazy river going around everybody. You know it.
The man was evaluated by medical workers and then arrested without incident, which I hope the whole time he just kept being like, you guys saw that?
What's he arrested for? Public drunkenness?
Right. I don't know.
Because he's not really creating a scene. The only thing he could arrest force them to have to use emergency equipment.
And they might have put out a warning saying, you cannot be on the river. It's flooded.
Right. So maybe he disregarded. But still, I think this is the police department saying, you cost us money, sending out these boats and doing this thing.
But it's now more money because now it's in the legal system. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to appeal this. This is a good example of police overreach. Let certain things go. The guy has suffered enough.
Let him go.
He nearly lost his life.
Let this guy go over the dam. Please.
I guarantee if this was in the UK, it probably would have ended without even an arrest. Like so many times we get international stories where they're like, and they let the guy go.
But to me, this guy's going to be at the very tip of the edge of the sword, the figurative sword of defund the police.
Yeah, for sure.
He's I'm on board.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the faces of everybody else in the holding cell? It's like, you're arrested for what? Like, stop lying.
He's also a guy who's going to start the Raft Lives Matter movement.
Stop.
That's this guy. He doesnn't get it.
He's in prison trying to make this sound hard. He's like, you're damn right I did. Down the river.
Right.
Seven miles.
He's like,
with the bottle.
With the bottle. And then
he has his own song. He's like, rumming with the devil. Like, stop. Glenn, stop.
Stop.
Did I drop the bottle? No.
Right. No, but to me, if this is a scene in Reno 911, they're like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm fine. I'm fine. All right. I'm glad we saved you. And then they take one step up and then you see him floating back down the river again. And then I got to go get him.
Headed home.
No. Don't go there.
That's our story.
That's a hell of a story. Ben Glebe, excited for your show on July 2nd, Nowhere Comedy Club. So happy to be a part of it. Thank you for including us and in the future, Dan and maybe a Dumb People Town. Keep doing what you're doing because it's great stuff. And thanks for joining us on the show.
It's so much my pleasure. And I'm going to give you one of these.
Do it. There he goes.
Perfect. Sly whistle.
I love it. Thanks so much, Ben Glebe. Follow him. Check him out. And oh shit, we got to get back to work.
Dum, dum, dum. Dum, 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 dum. Stick around, make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Star Burns Audio, a podcast network.